Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Morning.
All right.
Thank F it's Friday, right? Thank heavens. It's just 8:06 in the AM, British Summer Time, on Friday, 3rd of July, in the year of our Lord, 2026. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters, the very best among us, the best people on earth. Turning up to the Bo Show Live, Breakfast with Bo. Hashtag Bo's Breakfast Club, don't you forget about me. Hashtag the real BBC. Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club, hashtag the real LBC. Good stuff. Okay, as always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, I'm all good.
This imported voice. Out of nowhere. Little Harry, out of nowhere. All right, let's stop faffing about, shall we? No need to fanny around. Let's just get on with it. What's that cabal of evil Fleet Street editors trying to tell you is or isn't important today? What are they lying to you about by omission, if by nothing else? Don't talk about Jeffrey Epstein, what he really was and his connection to the Israeli intelligence services and Ehud Barak. Don't talk about that yet, guys. Yeah. Right, well, instead, they've decided to tell you about that it's a World Cup pubs boost. Nearly all the papers are going with that. The next England game, don't worry, I won't spend long on the football. Nearly all the papers are going with that the next England game is on Monday morning in the wee hours at 1 a.m. Starts at 1 a.m. and the pubs are going to be allowed to stay open until 5 a.m. for that. Got special legal dispensation stuff for that. That's nearly all the front pages, that. And Kate holds court. Kate Middleton, Princess of Wales, radiant as always, as we shall see, went to Wimbledon. That's all. She just went there. All right, let's have a look. The Mirror. Oh, Frankie Dettori. Anyone who might not know is maybe foreign or just not into horse racing at all. Very famous jockey. Retired now. I think he's in his mid-50s now. Frankie Dettori was in a car crash. He broke a few ribs and his thumb. But on Wednesday night, he flipped his car somehow. I don't know the details. But he's all right. He's in hospital. But Frankie Dettori, there you go. Okay. World Cup pubs boost. Mexican rave. Like Mexican wave. Like a rave is like a party. Mexican rave, you get it. Bars will be allowed to stay open until 5 a.m. This really is the main story today. We'll get through them a bit quickly, like yesterday. Oh, on Monday, it'll be too late to go to print. Maybe on Tuesday next week, it'll be another just full football day. Okay, the Daily Mail. What's this? The Healthy Expert's Guide to Survive in England. Okay, don't care. England's big all-nighter. There you go. Oh, look, Wee Jimmy Cranky is drinking a glass of wine. You can't have that. Wee Jimmy Cranky is just a schoolboy. You can't give a baby booze. That's just kind of little schoolboys drinking wine. Oh, no, wait, it is a middle-aged woman. Sorry, my mistake. That was top of one of the websites. Yeah, look, the Daily Mail. It's top of the Daily Mail. There's no story. She just was seen in London having lunch. That's all. White wine in the sun. Again, top of the website. Could report on anything in the world. Wee Jimmy Cranky's enjoying a glass of wine at lunch. White wine in the sun. Nicola Sturgeon sets her troubles aside and enjoys a tipple with human rights lawyer friend after fleeing Scotland for London, as she's pictured for first time since ex-husband was jailed for £400,000 Scottish National Party embezzlement. Sturgeon's laid-back lunch. Wow. Great journalism, guys. Well done. Brilliant. Pubs will be open until 5 a.m. on Monday. Okay. The Metro. Ooh. Yeah. Have a wash. Pubs can stay open. Okay. England fans bag another late victory. It's funny, isn't it, how they all go with the same thing, almost exactly the same thing, all of them. It's almost as though the most senior editors are literally in cahoots with each other in some sort of group, chat group of some type somewhere. We'll all talk about this thing today, yeah? Okay, the sun. Tequila sunrise, they go with. Because it'll be like sunrise, you know, 5 a.m. So like the game, if it goes to extra time or penalties, the sun will have come up by that point. Or the night sky would have lightened at least. There we go. Princess Kate. Looking radiant. The star. Mextra time. Mextra time. People getting paid for this. People getting paid to come up with that. Oh, Taylor Swift's getting married. So that football player, meathead dude. In Madison Square Garden, apparently. And they had a dress rehearsal today, and it's going to be tomorrow on the 4th of July. Because apparently Tay-Tay loves 4th of July. In years past, she'll have a 4th of July party. She likes it, so she's getting married. On America's birthday. And there's going to be loads of famous people. Like, it'll be like a mini gig. Loads of other famous people are going to like perform at it and stuff. Okay. The Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. The absolutely angelic, radiant Princess of Wales. She didn't do anything, she didn't say anything. Of note, at least. She just did go to Wimbledon. Princess Catherine shines at SW19 Wimbledon. So, there's nothing to it. Nothing happened. Okay, a proper story. Fury as ringleader is freed from prison and taxpayers fund his secure accommodation, because although he's been let out of prison proper, still in some sort of secure accommodation, like a probation hostel, I've seen it described as. And that is still at the taxpayers' expense, like being in prison. So he was whisked away from prison in a cab. I wonder who paid for the cab even, but... Kick out rape gang monster now, says the Express. I mean, you can't disagree with that, can you? Of course. Oh, yeah. And all the opposition parties are all coming out. Everyone, like the Tories, Reform. I haven't heard anything from the Lib Dems, incidentally. Of course, Restore. All coming out. Badenoch. Chris Philip. All of them saying, and even Andy Burnham, King Bumham the First, no Sternum Burnham, with his guy liner, his mascara, pair of eyelashes and a black t-shirt, said you should do something about it. But in fact, I've got a video. I think I've got a video. Do I have a video here? Channel 4. Oh, here we go. Channel 4 asked the actual, one of the prison ministers, is a lord, about it. Let's just listen to this.
Well, earlier I spoke to the prison's minister, Lord Timpson, about the likely outcome of this early release policy. Lord Timpson, how many rapists, child abusers, domestic abusers will this government be releasing early?
Well, what is clear is we inherited a crisis in our justice system. We were running out of prison cells. We had one day where we had less than 100 cells, so we had to take this very difficult action. And what we are doing is making sure we have a sustainable justice system. So for victims of these horrendous crimes, we're working with them, communicating with them to ensure that they know exactly what's going on. We're completely transparent with them. And so when their perpetrators are released, our exclusion zones are correct and the licence conditions work in the interests of the victims.
Well, that's not the question she asked you. You're going to be communicating with the victims, right? What does that mean? How does that help? What's that got to do with... She asked you how many rapists and murderers and things are you letting out? And your response to that is, we'll be talking to the victims... We'll be communicating with them to let them know what's going on. We know what's going on. You're letting out rapists and serious violent criminals. Well, you're going to give the victims 24-hour round-the-clock protection. No, you're not doing that, are you? You're going to change the law so ones that are foreign nationals will be deported. You're not doing that. So, the chutzpah of these people. You asked a question. How many violent criminals and rapists are you letting out? Well, we're going to talk to the victim. We're going to be in communication and transparent with the victims. So that's not the question. Well, she says that. She said, let's watch it a tiny bit more.
Specific question. How many rapists, child abusers, domestic abuse perpetrators, killers will the government be releasing early as part of this new sentencing act?
So we've been very clear. There are 18,000 prisoners who are not part of this scheme at all. But for the others that are, we are working with victims. And we've been very clear that we know that there will be 7,500 spare cells as a result of this.
But you're not being clear about who's being released, are you? So just to that question, we're talking about child rapists, groomers, domestic abuse perpetrators, killers. Do you know how many of those will be released and are simply not willing to tell us, or you just don't know?
Jackie, that is not the case. So what is happening at the moment is our teams in prisons, who they are incredible teams working this out. It's very, very complex what they're doing. They're working now, as we speak here, to work out exactly when everybody is going to be released. So it's important that we get it right. It is a moving target. So it is impossible for us to say exactly who will be released where and when, but we're working...
Right. I see. Okay. It's very complicated, and it's impossible to say. What on earth? What is this government? What is it? I would characterise it as an enemy of the people. Okay. Unbelievable, isn't it? Almost? Pretty much? All right, the Daily Telegraph, the Telegraph, Tay-Tay's getting married, we covered that, didn't we? Princess of Wales looking radiant, we covered that, didn't we? Change law to kick out rapists, number 10 told. Pakistan blocks any new move to deport grooming gang leader as he's freed from jail. All right. Okay. I read this article. And if finally you get down to what Pakistan actually said, and they just said, oh no, we won't take him back, he's foreign. As far as we, the Pakistanis, are concerned, he's foreign. Well, he was born and raised in Pakistan, and the only passport he's got is a Pakistani one. But as far as they're concerned, because he's lived in Britain for so long, and he did the crimes in Britain, he's Britain's problem, and they just won't accept him. They also said something like, how could we possibly allow him back into Pakistan? He wouldn't be safe here. Isn't that crazy on a couple of different levels? Right. And of course, our government, in response to that, ultimately, will just go, okay. Well, even Andy Burnham putting pressure on the Home Office, soon to be his Home Office, in response to that, like the Home Office junior minister, not Shabana Mahmood herself, one of the more junior ministers, said, yeah, of course we would like to deport him. Yeah, you know, of course that would be the right thing to do. But in this case, it's just unlikely. You're not going to sit down and have some sort of COBRA meeting. So sit down with the Foreign Office and say, right, we need to fundamentally look at our relationship with Pakistan if they're going to be like this with us. No, nothing like that. No, nothing like that. So effectively, ultimately, net result of it all is going, I have to go back to Rochdale ultimately. I think he's not allowed back to Rochdale exactly, but nonetheless, more or less, back into the general population of Britain. Fed posters say, what are you going to do about it? Stop whinging about it. That's what you get for not doing anything about it. What do you want us to do about it? I've already put everything on the line by changing my life and my career by doing this. You going to form a militia? With your fake name? And your no real picture? Not using your real name, your real... And you're going to try and put pressure on other people to... You're not doing anything about it. Stop whining about it. anonymous Fed posters. Is there anything more rotten? Right. Putin preparing a Polish incursion to challenge NATO response. Oh, that's concerning. That's worrying. Luckily, it's nonsense, in my opinion. I'll say this before I get to tell you the details about this. If Putin does do something like invade Belarus or Poland or Estonia or Latvia or Lithuania or anything like that, I will come on here and anywhere on State of Politics, on the main podcast, and I will do a fair few minutes. I'll do a whole segment of contrition, saying I was wrong. I made an incorrect calculation. I was wrong all along. I will eat my hat. Not literally eat my hat. I don't own a hat. Do I? Anyway. I will do a whole thing saying, right, I called it wrong for a fair few years there. My mistake. Kudos to all the people that said Mr. Putin's going to invade Poland. As it stands, I just simply don't believe it. In fact, when you read this article, what it boils down to is some sort of largely US sources just saying they think that it might happen or it could happen. Analysis think that it could happen. Within months. So nothing, you're just saying it. Just saber-rattling, just war-rattling. I mean, once again, just to be clear, I'm no actual fan of Putin, right? He is a dictator in all but name, isn't he? Making sure that he fiddles the Russian political system so he always stays in charge of government at all times, flipping offices with that Medvedev guy from time to time. He murders his political rivals. He makes journalists that are unfriendly to him disappear. I'm not a fan of Putin. He is a strategic enemy of Britain and NATO and the West, essentially. But do I believe he's going to invade Belarus or Poland or the Baltic states? No, he can barely do the Donbass, right? He's wasting almost a generation of his own men in the Donbass and all the loads of the materiel, Russian materiel that they've got, just on the Donbass. He hasn't got endless tank divisions like Stalin in 1946. He's going to sweep into Poland and then East Germany and onwards. Onwards to the same like Tsar Alexander. Come on. Come on. I just don't buy it. I don't buy it. I think that whole narrative is a lie, a concocted lie. If it turns out to be true, even remotely, I mean, this article is talking about how Putin might plan within months to strike infrastructure in Poland, their power stations and things. If anything like that happens, anything at all, I'll come on here and I'll do a whole thing saying I was wrong. And I was profoundly wrong for quite a while. I will do that. Of course I will. The best thing you can ever do when you're wrong, shown to be completely wrong, is to fess up to it. I remember this, just before Putin did the Ukraine war thing, just before Tucker was still on Fox. And I remember in the days running up to it, 2, 3, 4 days before it actually happened, it was just in the news cycle, like Russia's massing men and tanks and things on the border. It looks like Russia might do it. And Tucker was going on Fox, laughing, doing his laugh about it. And it's not going to happen. It's all nonsense. This is just State Department nonsense. It's not going to happen. Now, whenever I see, and it's true, and you can see that they are someone, whoever it is actually massing men and materiel somewhere. Something is likely to happen, or something is sort of, could happen imminently. Tucker was laughing about saying, it's not going to happen, this is all fake news. And then when it did happen, he just didn't talk about that. He did talk about it, but he didn't talk about how he had been wrong, how disastrously wrong his take had been in the previous few days. He just moved on. I will be contrite and completely accept that I was wrong if that ever happens. I just don't think it will. I don't think that... Anyway, all right. There you go. Mr. Putin wants a war with NATO. He doesn't. Okay, the Times, the venerable Times... Is your estate agent ripping you off? Yeah, almost certainly. That's what estate agents, yeah. That's what estate agents are, a rip-off. You've ever had to deal with one. Is your lawyer ripping you off? Yeah. Yeah. Estate agent. We needed to send a letter somewhere, 60 quid. Wait, how does that cost 60 quid? What are you charging for? The paper, the ink, the time it's spent to cut and paste that that two-line answer that you had to send somewhere? How is that 60 quid? Or whatever. You've had to apply for something or other on your behalf, 200 quid. Well, it's a few clicks somewhere. How's that 200 quid? Is your estate agent ripping you off? Yeah, they are, yeah. This is so subversive, isn't it? I love my husband, but I had to leave him. Oh, I said it in the first person. Got to be careful saying stuff in the first person. This woman said that she loved her husband, but she had to leave him. They keep doing it, don't they? They keep doing that. Women, be single, be alone, don't have children. The times. Princess Kate. Beautiful, beautiful Princess Kate. Okay. Anyone who hasn't guessed, even though she is quite beautiful, isn't she? I'm saying that ironically every day. Like, oh, she's so radiant, she's so beautiful. Just because that's what the papers, that's how the papers present her, don't they? Like, that she's sort of can do no wrong, is perfect. I mean, she does seem like a nice person and is pretty, but the amount they fawn over her, a bit much, isn't it? Right, the radiant Princess of Wales. Okay. Extra £750 million for anti-drone measures to protect British bases. Well, where's Andy going to get that from? Burnham, manifesto allows some taxes to rise. There's more tax and more spending. Prime Minister in waiting rules out crude benefit cuts and promises a rates break for pubs. So he did his first sort of kind of proper interview. It was with Andrew Marr. So was it Andrew? No, not Andrew Marr. It was Robinson, was it? Anyway, it was one of those two. Yeah, I can't remember. And they said, where he actually got a bit of pushback on things rather than just doing a speech to a room full of sycophants and no questions. He actually did an interview. And, among other things, he said he's going to raise taxes on warehouses, he said. So you're talking about Amazon? Is that what you mean? Because leftists hate corporations, don't they? Corporations that make money. They hate them. He just said warehouses. Going to raise taxes on warehouses so that he can cut taxes on pubs. And ruled out cutting the welfare bill in any way. Even though it's the welfare bill and the NHS bill, which is absolutely crippling our economy. Right. When asked about the military spending, which is like the increase is just non-existent, isn't it? Do you remember yesterday? They were like, Star Wars was like, we'll increase it by 13.5 billion. All right, we'll increase it by 15 billion. Actually, we don't have 4.7 billion of that. Actually, we don't have any of that. What a clown show. Okay, Andy Burnham just said, I'm not fiscally indisciplined. I think that's what he said, indisciplined. I'm not indisciplined when it comes to money. I know what I'm doing. I used to be a junior minister He was at the Treasury. He was never the Chancellor, was he? But, he was a minister in the Treasury. Like, I was in the Treasury and I've run Manchester, not into the ground. Oh no, I've run Manchester brilliantly. Have you? Aren't parts of Manchester like a hellscape now? Like Piccadilly Gardens? Isn't that just like a crack den? Doesn't that look like some of the worst places in San Francisco now? Is that like an open air foreign insane asylum now? Thinks he ran Manchester brilliantly. No. But Burnham's got all the answers. He's going to keep spending and keep raising taxes, even though we pay in Britain Our taxes are astronomically higher. Astronomically higher. But that's leftist economic theory for you. Have you got any money? Don't tell us you haven't got money. We will squeeze you until the pips go squeak, until you're destitute and starving. And then we'll talk about how it was the rest of the world that didn't let us have our, do socialism properly. How many times does that have to play out? In fact, where was it? Was it on Sky News? Yeah. Let's talk about Cuba for a minute. Talk about Andy Burnham and his economic policies. Let's have a little bit of a look at Cuba. For some reason on Sky News today, they're interested in Cuba again. It's come up. Cuban president says it's hard to trust America. Yeah, yeah. Don't trust the State Department on the face of it. I'm not a partisan for the State Department particularly. They're not particularly trustworthy. But anyway, Cuba in depth. We're not afraid of war, Cuban president responds to Trump. Okay, yeah, right. Okay. Living in absolute la-la land. One division of the US Marine Corps could take Cuba. It's completely on its knees. Not afraid of war. How could you stop a single fast jet, let alone F-22 Raptors? How would you stop B-2 bombers? How would you intercept their best cruise missiles? How would you stop like a landing invasion, like a landing craft? They wouldn't. It's what nonsense. Inside Cuba, a medical emergency. Yeah, their society's completely falling apart. Life under Trump's blockade in Cuba. Why is Cuba a US target again? Because it's a complete and utter failed state. Complete and utter failed state. Why? Communism. Communism doesn't work. It's quite simple. When Marx and Engels wrote about how they would remedy society and create a workers' paradise, a utopia, they were writing in the mid-19th century, and they were talking about countries like Germany and Britain and France. And it didn't really work then. It was almost out of date then. By 1917, the Bolshevik Revolution, the things that Marx and Engels had said were completely out of date by 1917 and didn't map on to Russia very well. Tsarist Russia, or then Soviet Russia, didn't map onto it very well. It didn't map onto late 1940s China at all. Doesn't map on, doesn't make sense for North Korea, doesn't make sense for Venezuela, doesn't make sense for Cuba. The island of Cuba. You look at what Marx and Engels actually said about industry. It doesn't make any sense. And we know now they're going to blame decades and decades and decades of decline and repression. Because, of course, you can never let any counter-revolution happen. That's the whole nature of a revolution, isn't it? That your first enemy are internal counter-revolutionaries, first and foremost. You try and start a website about democracy in Cuba, you disappear. Want to lead a peaceful protest for democracy in Cuba, you get banged up and probably disappear. Oh, but Mr. Trump's blockade, which isn't all that old in the scheme of things, that's the problem. I mean, it doesn't help. I'm not saying it helps. Of course it doesn't. But why is Cuba a US target again? Because it's a failed state, a failed communist state that's belligerent to them on their doorstep. That's why. Leftist economic theory does not work. Burnham. Tax and spend. We can just tax and spend our way out. We're going to lift up the country. That's what he kept saying. He's going to lift it up. via state-sponsored theft of anyone that's got anything left anymore. Heaven forbid he should cut the crude, it would be crude to cut benefits to our invaders. The millions of invaders that are in this country. They're invaders. They're not economic migrants. They're not refugees. A small number of them will be. Most of them are invaders. Here for Gibbs. Here to get as much materiel from us as we can. And many of them to rape and murder us. But it'd be crude not to give them the same amount of money we always have done, if not more. It's Andy Bumham for you. That's no Sterling Burnham for you. Okay, the Financial Times. Aerial assault, Kiev rocketed by Russian blasts. Yeah. Yeah, Kiev shoots missiles into Russia as well. Blows up stuff in the middle of Moscow. Yeah, it's a war. OpenAI seeks political buy-in with plan to hand Washington DC, a 5% stake, proposal to share gains with public. Rivals urged to do the same, AI, other rival AI companies to do the same. Trump talks at an early stage. Be interesting if that happened. I mean, I always think a marriage made in hell, any sort of public-private partnership, it's the worst of both worlds, nearly always. There are one or two examples in history of where it's worked well, but nearly always terrible. Okay. You know me, I would John Connor all AI to hell if it's up to me. It's just a detriment to our humanity, I believe. Apart from with a few exceptions of like research, medical research and things. There are a few applications where it's great. Spain's migrant amnesty attracts 1.2 million applications, double Madrid's forecasts. Yeah. So after the Muslim invasions, the Umayyad Caliphate, going back to what, the 8th century or whatever, then 500 years of Reconquista. Spain, in the last generation, have just allowed themselves, like us, like our governments, allowed themselves to just be invaded, largely by North Africans, Muslims. They've got a proper commie, a full-blown socialist as their leader, haven't they? Oh yeah, just let another 1.2 million foreign people just be Spanish now. Don't worry about all the atrocities they carry out. Don't worry about if they're a net drain economically. Don't worry about the fabric of Spanish society and culture. Just. The Guardian, ooh. Oh, that's gross. Yeah, that's making me feel sick. The Guardian. Sickening. Sickening. Party time. Edward Norton and Olivia Wilde on their new erotic comedy. Don't care. Madonna's Confessions 2, star's best album in 2 decades. Don't care. Don't care. Is it her best album? Aren't you a bit old, love? Aren't you like an actual granny? You're trying to pretend you're still hip. You're the queen of pop. You're an embarrassment. Someone's embarrassing Nan. Madonna. Is it just me? Spending cuts to fund defence plan will cost 10,000 jobs in the UK. Yeah, so this is just, well, if you're already at the absolute limit, if you take with one hand, give with the other, then it's not like we've got endless resources and jobs. It's just saying that. If we have to spend loads and loads of money on defence, then loads of other infrastructure, which that money was going towards, will have to be cut and the jobs will be cut. Right. Say you work for a big company that repairs roads and all your funding's cut in order to buy drones or whatever. Then your job goes. Yeah, because we're absolutely at the absolute limit of what we're able to do. So, yeah. We haven't got endless money and manpower and resources, yeah. It might be better, mightn't it, if the jobs market hadn't been flooded with millions of low-skilled migrants. Maybe we could have a cap on the number of migrants? No. That'd be racist bigot. We're going to report you to the Runnymede Trust and hope not hate for that sort of bigotry. I'm not saying, not even re-migration, just a cap. Any number. No, more safe and legal routes, if anything. Huh. But the way to, like, the NHS is sort of imploding because it can't handle it. School classroom sizes are astronomical. You know, nothing seems to really work properly. It's very, very difficult to see a dentist or anything. There's literally not enough houses. We've got tent cities that are soon to be probably shanty towns because there's just simply not enough homes for anyone. Can't we maybe just put a cap on it? I mean, you can make the number a really high number, but a number that's a cap. No, no, more safe and legal routes, bigger. You just hate brown people, do you? No, my country's falling apart. No, you just hate brown people. Racist. No. We're getting demographically replaced by millions of foreign people. More safe and legal routes. Nazi. Okay. All right. 8 days later, a survivor is rescued from the rubble in Venezuela. Yes, a guy said, apparently he was in an underground car park. There must have been water or liquid. You don't survive for 8 days without any food or water. Well, water. You can survive much longer than 8 days without food, but water. Anyway, remarkable, really. 8 days. 8 days. They're still saying that there's, you know, a fair few thousand confirmed dead, low thousands confirmed dead, but tens of thousands still missing. And if you're missing this one, there'll be one or two more. They'll pull out alive. But most of those tens of thousands that are missing will almost certainly be dead. This story, data shows racial divide in pain relief during birth. Black and brown women aren't getting enough epidurals. Pubs open till 5 a.m. for England's next match. Okay, we got it. All right, they're the headlines. They're the headlines. Should we have a look at our the poll? What did we do on our poll today, Harry? Oh, we did. Yesterday, someone in the chat, well, I think more than one person said, do a poll on whether Bo should get a monocle. It's Friday. Do something a bit more flippant on a Friday. So we asked, should Bo actually get a monocle? 850 odd votes on that. 88% of you say yes. 12% of you say no. Someone on Twitter yesterday, so they did a screenshot of where you can buy a monocle online, and then another screenshot image of that they've sent it to the PO box address. So if that's real, and I've got no reason to believe it's not real, I should have remembered who put that on Twitter so I could give them a shout out. Sorry. If that's real, and it probably is. So I don't even have to wait. Someone's going to send me one, it looks like. I won't wear it all the time. Like, it's constantly in there. Oh, it'll have to be in this eye, won't it? But from time to time, I probably will, when the writing's really small, probably will actually use it. We'll see. Maybe I won't get on with it. Maybe I'll try it and it's really uncomfortable and it just doesn't feel right. Or maybe I'll take to it like a duck to water. Don't know. We'll see. All right. Should we have a look at the price of oil? We often have to have a look at the price of crude, don't we, on this show? Almost exactly the same, exactly as it was yesterday, almost. West Texas, just shy of $70. Brent crude, just over $72. Okay, there you go. I like to check in with it. You should get in, or if you've got money to invest or spend. Not many of us have. Get used to keeping your eye on prices sort of on a daily basis. If you're interested in any given market, that is. Not that I expect many people out there to be getting in and out of the crude oil commodities market. Be careful not to take delivery. If you do that, you don't want a lorry turning up at your house. Some guy start unloading barrels of crude. Okay. All right, what else have we got? Oh, yeah, okay, those boys. Those traveller boys. There was three of them, and between them, they were convicted of 10 counts of rape, or rape-related offences, at least two rapes, but 10 counts between them. And the judge, Judge Rowland, if I believe, didn't give them a prison sentence. He gave them, like, some sort of community order thing. They weren't allowed to contact their victims for 10 years or something. They had a curfew. but you just let them back out. They lured girls to remote places, raped them and filmed themselves raping them, and then spread the videos around on the internet. And you don't go to prison for that, according to Judge Rowland. Well, there was such an outcry, wasn't there? Even Sir Keir Starmer said that seems wrong. So Harmer, the Attorney General, did refer it back to the appeals court, and they've done that, all that, and that's happened, and they were resentenced. Two of the three boys, there were three, and one of them did less than the others. I think one of the three didn't actually do the rapes. He was there, and I think filming it, and God knows exactly all the details, but he wasn't, and he was younger than the other two as well. He was only 13 or 14, the other two were like 15 or 16. He wasn't given a prison sentence, but the main two boys actually did the rapes, I believe. They were given like 4 years. Still not enough, is it? In Bowes, Britain, I would change the law so the sentences could be decided by not the judges, because often it's the judges themselves that get to decide what the judging criteria will be. Very, very senior judges. Now, I'll take that out of their hands, because they're not to be trusted. I'd put that back into the hands of the Justice Department, my Justice Department, and I would change it so that if you ever rape or murder someone, you either never get out. We'll make whole life sentences common. Whole life orders, we'll make that common, assuming we're not able to win the referendum about capital punishment. If you rape or murder, it should be capital punishment. If the national referendum doesn't go with that, I make whole life orders commonplace. And if not, extremely long sentences. If you do a rape, that's like 20 or 30 years and you serve the whole 20 or 30 years. For one rape, let alone 10 counts. Someone's involved in 10 rapes, whole life order. How could you ever be trusted around women ever again? Ever. You're 15, don't care. Don't care, you're monstrous. You've been raised to be a monster. The lawyers in defence of these kids said, oh, one of them, the main one, of the three, there was one that was sort of the ringleader or whatever, the oldest one. They said, oh, but he's like really dumb. They didn't actually say fully retarded. They said he's really dumb. He's like in the bottom 1% of sort of cognitive ability or whatever. He doesn't understand the word consent. Lock him up then. Till he learns. He'll probably never learn. You know right from wrong by the time you're 15. You should know right from wrong by the time you're 15. Like the only very, very, very small children, basically toddlers, are allowed to get away with the argument they don't know right from wrong. Sometimes you get a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, maybe even a 4-year-old, and their brain actually can't empathise. They might accidentally smother or crush a kitten or a puppy. And they've not murdered it, really. They didn't know. They couldn't know. Okay, that sort of argument only works for a very, very, very small child. By the time you're 15, you know right from wrong. Should do. 4 years. And they'll probably be out in 18 months, 2 years. You do an extremely violent thing or a murder or a rape, you should either be executed, a whole life order, or banged up until you're extremely old. What is this society they've created? Bleeding heart liberals have created. Commies. Socialists. All right. Let's have a look. What else have we got? The ITV News. Here's a story on the ITV News. Why Trump's peace deal with Iran has left Israel feeling betrayed. Oh, they feel betrayed, do they? They're the ones that have been betrayed, is it? Netty didn't get his dream of completely destroying Persia. Slightly interesting, though, this article talks about, is Donald Trump more of a Herbert Hoover, i.e. the president that was in power during the Great Depression, or the beginning of the Great Depression? Or is he more like a Woodrow Wilson who thinks, you know, World War One thinks he's got a great peace plan, but like Versailles, but it all blew up and just led to later even bigger wars, if anything? Trump said he didn't want to be a Herbert Hoover, i.e. overseeing a Great Depression. He refuses to be a Herbert Hoover, but his critic says he's emulating Woodrow Wilson with a, like a terrible peace treaty, the terrible peace treaty of Versailles that just led to bigger, more worse wars down the road. Make up your own mind. Russia targeting Kiev. On another day, you'll see Kiev targeting Moscow. Okay, there we go. The great Maggie Oliver there. Should Rochdale grooming gang ringleader be deported? Why, it's not even a question, is it? Not even a question. All right, what else did we have? Andy Bumham's major tax bombshell. It's not really a bombshell because everyone knew that's what he is, isn't it? Here's one other story I thought we'd do today. It's nearly 1:45. Remember that? Remember this Russian oligarch? He was in a hotel in Monaco and someone left some sort of backpack or some sort of bag and it blew up. It was a bomb. It was like full of nuts and bolts and stuff. It was a bomb. They're saying now the person that did it was a woman. A Ukrainian woman. It seems like he had his wife, or was it his mistress? His wife or his mistress. And his young son. They must have all been in the foyer, or maybe at the doorway of this hotel in Monaco. And it seems like maybe his wife or mistress picked it up, because she's the, like, the most wounded. She has to have had both her legs amputated. While he and his son are both wounded as well. Okay. Suspect who blew up Ukraine oligarch and mistress is an armed and dangerous woman who dressed like a man to plant bomb. That's what Interpol are saying. They're saying they think they know who she is. They think she lived in Germany. She's a Ukrainian, but she lived in Germany. And now she's on the run and maybe in the Balkans somewhere. And Interpol were on the case and hunting her down. And she dressed as a man, tried to look like a man. Look, there's a picture of it. Apparently that's a Ukrainian woman. They haven't given her name out to the public or anything yet. You believe that? I mean, that's just what they say. I'm just saying what's being reported today. All right, that tea's gone a bit cold. Let me move to my backup water. This is water in this cup, not another tea. All right. There you go. Should we do On This Day in History? Should we do that bit? I quite like doing that bit. You guys seem to like me doing that bit. On This Day in History, the 3rd of July, down through the centuries, what happened of note? On this day in the year 324 AD, that will be, the Battle of Adrianople, Roman Emperor Constantine I. This is right in my wheelhouse. This is my stuff. I love this. Roman Emperor Constantine I, Constantine the Great, defeats his co-emperor Licinius, who flees to Byzantium. God. Could easily just talk for an hour right now about this. I won't. Don't worry. I'll only give you 2 or 3 or 4 minutes. Constantine grew up in a world where there was a tetrarchy, the so-called tetrarchy, the rule of four, four emperors. And his father was one of those in Britain, actually. And then when his father died, you had two senior emperors, two Augusti, and two junior emperors, Caesars, and when the elder, senior Augusti, when they died or retired, the Caesar became the Augustus and appointed a new Caesar, because the Roman Empire was so massive. It went from Scotland to the Middle East. Pardon me. And it was just too big. It was decided that there should be, we need multiple capitals and multiple emperors to deal with that. Well, okay. Once Constantine's father died, he was named as a Caesar. And over the course of his adult life, over 20, 30 odd years, the long and short of it is, very broad strokes of the brush here, goes around the Roman Empire defeating all the others to unite the Roman Empire. And he's the one sole emperor now. His last big rival was Licinius, the emperor in the east. He'd already had a war with him quite a few years before, 324, and beaten him and taken over large parts of, like, the Balkans and Eastern Europe. But the vast majority of the Eastern Roman world was still controlled by Licinius and his legions. And in the end, Constantine launches another war against him and defeats him. There you go. It wasn't the last battle, Adrianople, but it was the decisive one. Licinius was almost certainly not going to come back after that. Eventually, he takes Licinius prisoner and says, I'm going to be super clement. You should just have to retire to one of your estates somewhere and be a private citizen, and I'll leave you alone. It wouldn't do to execute, you know, emperors. Then a few months later, he did just send some guards round and have him executed. Okay. On this day in 1863, the Battle of Gettysburg, we talked about, it's the last day, because it lasted 3 days, the Battle of Gettysburg. In the 19th century, it's rare for a battle to last, well, before the American Civil War, it was rare for battles to last more than a day. Like in the Napoleonic era, at the beginning of the 19th century, it was extremely rare. Like Leipzig lasted more than one day, but usually a battle would only last one day. And even in the American Civil War, where it was industrial, Gettysburg raged for 3 days, a bit longer than that, but the main part of the battle was 3 days long. And the bloodiest battle to ever take place on American soil. I mean, there's a few bad ones, like Shiloh. Shiloh's really bad, but Gettysburg, sort of, depending on how you measure these things, biggest, most bloodiest battle. The Union won it. It was the last time that the South and General Lee were able to really push into the North's territory. The last time they had sort of any sort of strategic momentum. They were always on the back foot after Gettysburg. Again, so much could say, so many things could say about it. It's a great piece of sort of American law, L-O-R-E law. You know, like Cemetery Ridge. The defense of Cemetery Ridge, Pickett's Charge. That's a big one. If you're a Southerner, they lament Pickett's Charge. It was right at the end of the battle. General Pickett, a Confederate general, was ordered to charge across basically an open field, almost a kilometer or a mile wide open field against entrenched Union positions. And they got slaughtered. Only half of them made it back, 50% casualties. That's And lots of historians say that was like that was sort of the last moment. Like the South died at Pickett's Charge. Right, of course, the war went on for another 18 months or so. Another 2 years, 18 months. And there was many, many more battles. It was a long time before Grant and Sherman finally, or Grant finally got to Richmond and everything. But if you're going to chart the South's progress, the very peak, the moment where it peaked, would be Pickett's Charge. I mentioned the historian Shelby Foote, didn't I, the other day? The American historian Shelby Foote. If anyone knows the US Civil War inside out, it was Shelby Foote. And he was himself a Southerner. And he said something like, I paraphrase slightly, but he said something like, all Southerners that like want the South to rise again, all those people, he said, there's no Southern lad who learns about, Southern boy, who learns about the Civil War, who doesn't dream that he could go back to the moment just before Pickett's Charge and order that charge to not happen. This is one tiny bit of Gettysburg. Massive, massive, massive battle. All right, let's move on. On this day in 1884, Dow Jones publishes its first stock index, the Dow Jones Transportation Average. There was quite a lot of financial bubbles and collapses in the 1870s. Actually, just mentioned Ulysses Grant, didn't I? When Ulysses S. Grant was president in the 1870s, there was a number of collapses in the stock exchange. But okay, the Dow Jones Stock Index, 1884. All right. And on this day, 1996, UK House of Commons announces that the Stone of Scone, a.k.a. the Stone of Destiny, used in the coronation of Scottish and subsequently English and British monarchs, will be returned to Scotland after 700 years in Westminster Abbey. Yeah. Wasn't it Edward I? Wasn't it Longshanks who took that? I might be wrong about that. I think that's right. I've got content all about Longshanks. It's been quite a few years since I reread in detail about Longshanks, but yeah, it's just one of those things where part of like devolution, part of our politicians that hate England and want to sort of give away our history and our heritage, even if it's been in trade for 700 years. You're going to find something that's 700 years old to undermine our history and heritage. Do you think we can give to the Scots, the Irish, the Welsh, the Indians, the Pakistanis, the Bangladeshis, the Nigerians, anyone, anything that's a detriment to England, do that? Oh, okay, great. Great. I remember that at the time, and of course since. I've never really heard any Scotsman, really, most of them never heard of it. Never heard any Scotsman being like, yes, thank God, finally. Finally, we Scots talk about that at the breakfast table all the time. The Stone of Scone, we talk about it all the time. If only we could have the Stone of Scone back. Okay, it was all performative. Anything to undermine England. All right. Should we have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats? Let me do this with my thing so I can see Super Chats. Rumble Rants, is Global Church History? Yes. Reigning, defending, and still. Global Church History, first name Global, middle name Church, surname History, says, today in 1608 AD, Samuel de Champlain founded Quebec City. Interesting, obviously, a Frenchman. And in 1754, it's related slightly, and in 1754, George Washington surrendered to the French during the Seven Years' War. Yeah, that's interesting. I've got whole long-form content about the life and career of George Washington on my channel with History Bro in conversation with the great Benjamin Boyce. Yeah, there was a reason why when the American War of Independence, the Revolutionary War, kicked off, why George Washington was sort of a no-brainer to lead the Continental Army of the United States, because he was already famous. He was already sort of basically their most famous general. But in the Seven Years' War, which was a type of world war, there were a few quote-unquote world wars before World War One. Like, we could make the argument that some of the Napoleonic Wars were essentially world wars, playing out in India and in the Caribbean and all sorts of things, a conflict that spread across the world. The Seven Years' War, in the mid-18th century, spread out all over the world, again in India and all over the place. And in the North American theatre of that, Americans, you may have heard of the French and Indian War. You may well have heard of that, the French and Indian War. Well, that was just the North American theatre of the Seven Years' War. Britain and France going to war with each other all over the world. And of course the French, like Samuel de Champlain, had put themselves up in Canada, what is today modern Canada. And so the English and the French fought each other in Canada and the United States. What became the United States was then still the 13 colonies. And George Washington and the colonies were obviously on the English side against the French. So George Washington's fighting the French. But the colonies, the 13 colonies, what went on to become the United States, didn't do all that well, to be honest. Now, one thing I would say about that is that at that time, they didn't have, like, now we're used to the United States having a giant army, giant navy, all-conquering, all-powerful. Well, it just wasn't the case in the mid-18th century. Well, there wasn't a United States, was there? There was no United States yet. That's in the future. There was just the 13 colonies. And, yeah, George Washington, a number of times, more than four times, the Americans lose against the French. In the end, the British did beat the French in the French and Indian War in the US theatre of the Seven Years' War. And you see General Wolfe taking Quebec. The British took Quebec. General Wolfe got himself killed. Very famous painting of that. Anyway, again, could talk about that for ages and ages, but can't really. All right, what else we got? Jeffrey Furnall said, I have another book recommendation. After London by Richard Jefferies. A book called After London. Written in 1885. I've not heard of it, incidentally. Written in 1885, which is about England after an apocalyptic disaster which returns us to a medieval feudal society. Sounds interesting. Like an alternative history. I like alternative history and future histories. I was listening to Olaf Stapledon's Star Maker the other night. That's a great bit of sci-fi. But okay, sorry. After London by Richard Jefferies. Okay. Thanks for the book recommendation. Cool. The next one is also you, Jeffrey Fernald. You say, Jefferies, Richard Jefferies, was a naturalist and son of Swindon. He grew up around Coatwater, where there is a museum dedicated to him. After London is full of many beautiful descriptions of nature and well worth reading. Oh, thank you very much. Swindon Town Centre is horrible. As soon as you go outside Swindon, Wiltshire and the southwest of England is an idyll. It's absolutely beautiful. It really is. There's such a juxtaposition between Swindon Town Centre and rural Wiltshire. It's unbelievable, the difference. So yeah, go rambling around rural Wiltshire on a nice day. Beautiful. Okay, GWFF says, FYI, Bo and Little Harry, on the LE main site, Epochs 223 Magellan Part 4 is actually a re-uploaded 233 about Sir Walter Riley. Heads will roll for this. Thanks. I'm joking, of course. Thanks for letting me know that. If anyone spots anything like that, let me know. Please do. On here, on Twitter, sending an email, anything like that, let me know. I'm going to look into that as soon as I get off this stream. 100%. I like my epochs, everything nice and neat, and as it should be. Thank you for letting me know that, genuinely. A re-upload? Magellan Part 4 isn't there? What will the bronze, silver and gold tier members say? We've let them down. I'm saying that as though I'm mocking it. I'm not, I really mean it. We've let you down. I'll sort that out. That's top of my list. Thank you for letting me know. All right. 14 Barber says, morning, mate. All right. Yeah, I'm all right. Thanks. You're all right. I hope you are. Genuinely hope you are. You say, the fourth wave of UAP files is meant to drop today, unidentified aerial phenomenon. Last one was cack mind. Cack means bad, poor, lame. I watched Bob Lazar chatting with Travis Walton the other day. That was cool. Have a great weekend. Yeah, I watched about half of that, actually. I'm sure it's probably the same video. Yeah, interesting. Interesting. If anyone doesn't know, I did a good bit of content with that Devon Tracy, you know, Atheism is Unstoppable. The Roo, Fear the Roo. About 2 weeks ago, it went out. It's freemium as well, so you can get the whole thing for free. You don't have to sign up to Lotus Eaters. Like an hour and a half, hour and 40, was it? Odd, long conversation with Devon Tracy, aka Atheism is Unstoppable, all about aliens and UFOs and UAPs. And, you know, both of us are very sort of cynical, right? We're not just saying, yeah, it's all, just believe, you must believe. It's not that, right? We're both talking seriously about it. Like what you can actually say for real, what's true? What's true and what isn't true? Interested in that? But thanks, Roti and Barbara. There will be another drop today, is there? We'll see if it's a nothing burger or if there's something actually interesting in it. We shall see. Bob Lazar's story is a fascinating one, isn't it? Bob Lazar. Never heard that name. Google it. Watch a video or two. Check it out. It's interesting. If nothing else, even if you don't believe him, it's interesting. All right. And the last Rumble rant this morning is from Bebopin and Rocksteady. It says, my state, Idaho, just made children rape a firing squad offence. Nice, based Idaho. Proper middle America. Love it. Love it. Yeah. Why not? In Bowes Britain, it's a capital offence. Should be a capital offence. You get 4 years for 10 counts of it. 30 counts of it, you're out after 14 years. Not good enough. It's a travesty. All right, let's have a look at the YouTube ones. Harry, you have to bring that up on my screen for me if you don't mind. Would you, make it so? And engage, there it is. Great. All right. There's quite a few, over 20, I would guess. All right, there's quite a few. Let's whip through them a little bit. Big Paradox 23 says, "Morning, you all right?" "I'm all right, thanks, mate. How are you?" "I've just caught wind that Lowe is to appear on Rogan in a few days. Also, did you see Tim Dillon's interview? Your thoughts?" Okay, I didn't see the Tim Dillon interview. What, Tim Dillon on Joe Rogan or Rupert Lowe talking to Tim Dillon? Did Rupert Lowe talk to Tim Dillon? That doesn't sound right. I don't know, though. I haven't heard about that. I didn't know anything about that. Tim Dillon does go on Rogan a fair bit, though, doesn't he? And I have heard that Rupert is going to be on Joe Rogan. My thoughts? Well, let's just hope he doesn't stomp on his own base again. Although he hasn't actually really done that. People take... He's not quite as based as a lot of people would like him to be. Yeah, that's been clear for quite a while, hasn't it? But here's what it is. It's still way better than Reform and Farage, isn't it? Isn't he? It would be nice, wouldn't it, to see Rupert come out and start being properly based, wouldn't it? That would be nice. All right. Archie Brooks 15 says, "Morning, Bo." "Morning. I've been listening to Magellan on Epochs and it's brilliant." Oh, thank you. It's kind of you to say. "What's your favourite event that, although episode 4, apparently, there's a re-upload of Walter Riley, the Walter Riley one. Sorry about that. We'll sort that out ASAP." There you say, "What's your favourite event that happened in British colonial times?" Ooh, good question. The Battle of Plassey? Clive of India? I think I've got long-form content all about Clive of India and the Battle of Plassey on my history theme show, Bowdays Epochs, on loadcesars.com. Do consider signing up for it. It was £5 a month's bronze membership. Yeah, the Battle of Plassey, where the English and General Clive were outnumbered crazily. What was it, like 18 to 1 or something? Was it that many? Just massively, massively outnumbered by French and Indian troops in India. And it was like it on paper looked like a completely insane suicidal thing to offer battle. And he did, and we won. Lovely stuff. Okay, Tiger, T-Y-G-R-H, but they've said it's Tiger. Tiger says, "A small contribution for Bo's Monocle Fund." Oh, thank you. And then a couple of emojis with a emoji face with a monocle in. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Woopoo 23 says, "Good morning, Bo." "Morning. Love the show." Cheers. "I want to self-study ancient history. I dropped out of sixth form as it was too woke." Oh, that's a shame. "Any recommendations, reading, or particular way to approach the subject?" And then if Dutro 32.7, I don't know what that would be. Is that a Deuteronomy? I don't know what that verse is, I'm afraid. But as for, again, I could talk about this. I could talk about this for ages. A couple of things I would say. The very best place to start for ancient history is either Gilgamesh or the Iliad, because they're sort of foundational texts, but they're both quite difficult to get into if you've not done it before. Right? Gilgamesh is a bit weird. We've got long form content all about Gilgamesh. And we're going to do one about the Iliad, probably with Stelios. But both the Iliad and Gilgamesh, if you're not sort of used to it, is a little bit difficult, but they are foundational texts. Maybe start with Herodotus. You can just get a Penguin paperback, $7.99 or whatever, $8.99. Herodotus, read Herodotus, or if you're like, you know, perhaps interested in Roman history, a lot of people, when they talk about the ancient world, it's actually the Romans they're interested in. The 12 Caesars by Suetonius, or Tacitus, the annals or the histories of Tacitus, Julius Caesar's account of his conquest of Gaul. Again, you can get it in Penguin paperback for only a few quid. It's not that long either. That's a great read. Julius Caesar wrote a book about the 10 years he spent in Gaul conquering the Gauls. He wrote a book and it's still in print now in Penguin paperback. You can buy it. How remarkable is that? I think I've got a massive long series all about Julius Caesar, ridiculously long series, like 30-part series or something about Julius Caesar, where I quote loads from that account, that bit of his life. Oh yeah, it's all there. God, where to start? Yeah. Well, there's a few suggestions. You can do it on audiobook as well. Like, you'd find, I think, like Tacitus, the annals or the histories of Tacitus, on audiobook for free on YouTube. Like a LibriVox recording, which is in the public domain, something like that. The Lives of Plutarch. Plutarch's brilliant. You've got sort of a particular person from history, like Alexander or something. Find Plutarch's Life of Alexander. That's a good place to start. Plutarch's Life of Alexander. I recommend you do that. But on a course, when I did an A-level in ancient history or classical civilizations, they made you read Herodotus. It's one of those books where, unless you read around it a bit first, you won't get, or you have to read all the notes. You have to read all the notes because Herodotus will just mention something or somebody and you're like, well, that means nothing to me. I don't know what that is. That's just a name on a page. I don't understand the significance of that. Right? A lot of ancient history, when you read it, is a bit like that. The text presupposes you know loads, that you already know all about the ancient world. And if you don't, then it's difficult to get into. But Plutarch's Life of Alexander. There you go. That's my recommendation. Okay, sorry. Let's talk about that. That really is right in my wheelhouse, that sort of question. Okay, Emily Four Restore says, we gave Pakistan £133 million in aid in 2024-25. Insane. Insane. And they send us their worst sex criminals. We shouldn't give them a penny. Not a penny. In fact, we should be asking for reparations from them for the detriment that they've... We should get reparations from them. 133 million quid in aid. What's called aid? Haven't they got like a rocket program? Or a space program or something? They've got nukes. They've got a nuclear program. And we're giving them aid. Ridiculous. Absolutely. And then Rory Stewart would have it that it would just be wrong to not give them all that money. It would just be morally wrong. Would it, Rory? You insane freak. Rory Stewart. What a disgusting golem. Right. Richard Fleming says, towards Beau's monocle and a Yorkshire tea. Oh, well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Mr. Gently Benevolent says, careful, Beau. Burnham will decide Calgon Studio counts as a warehouse. And you'll be on the streets if you criticise his eyeliner too much. Calgon. Washing machines live longer with Calgon. Yeah. It's always a worry that the state will just decide that, you know, things like the New Culture Forum or Lotus Eaters are just, like, they'll just shut it down. It's always a worry. It's always a worry. What can you do? Must press on regardless. 44 Magnum Norse says, as an American, I enjoy Trump removing commies in the Western Hemisphere from power. Yeah, it's great. But I'm done with the Middle East. Unfortunately, that leaves you people to fend off the Islamists. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, well, we shall have to. Yeah. King Philip, 1861. Start a militia is a cheeky response to vote harder. Yeah. Face the music and plan for primary balkanization. Yeah. I do find it annoying and frustrating, particularly when a nuns, who are risking nothing, are goading other people on, trying to pour scorn on other people for doing something that they're not doing enough. It's not that I'm against being anonymous online. I think that's very important. I think it's very important that people should be have the ability to be anonymous online. But then don't pour scorn on other people that are actually saying something, using their real name and their real voice, and actually risking something. Or their reputation and their career, and even their safety. And you're going to sit there anonymous. Yeah, you think you can't vote your way out of this? You're going to form a paramilitary, are you? No, you're not. You're not going to do shit. Right. Azzy0161 says, wish me luck, Bo. I've got a maths exam soon. Oh, well, good luck. I just about scraped a C in GCSE maths. In year 7, 8 and 9, they put me in the top set and I was like good at maths. When it comes to year 11 and the GCSE, scraped it. I was never going to do maths at A level. No, thank you. I'm a humanities man. Let me just read a few books. Wait, I can get a first class education just by reading a few books and remembering what I read? All right. Well, that's lucky. I can do that. Complicated equations. A level maths or physics. Right, 44 Magnum North says, crap, we have Islamists too, damn it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's not funny. Yeah. Yeah. It's a proselytizing religion, isn't it? And wants you to submit to it. That is what Islam means, isn't it? Submission. You must submit. They want the whole world, really do want the whole world to be Islamic. Kick You in the Throat, that's their name. At Kick You in the Throat says, my voracious Anglo-American appetite for new territory and sweet Caribbean digs ever dwells on thoughts of dearest Cuba being so relentlessly communist and poor for so long, it's a tempting target. If the United States did go in there the way they did in, say, South Korea or a number of places around the world and was just allowed to do sort of a modern version of a Marshall Plan, or it looks like what they're doing in Venezuela, just get rid of your commie government, which has been a complete disaster for decades and decades, and just let us pump billions and billions of dollars of investment into it, you can have an okay country. Just look at the difference between South Korea and North Korea. Full Magnum also again says, Cubans are great, especially since they vote right wing. A lot of Cuban exiles in places like Florida, they're often, aren't they, extremely based, basically, aren't they? Because if they fled or were forced to flee communist Cuba, they're probably going to be right-leaning and or based, like Cuban nationalists. Instead of communists, yeah. Yeah. Isn't Rubio one of the reasons why I think the Trump administration is so sort of bellicose about Cuba is probably Rubio at the State Department. Weren't both his parents Cuban exiles, is that right? At least one was. I think both. Okay. Still got quite a few more, let's get through them. Isaac Kirkwood Smith, 5182, says, completely unsurprised that you are of Cornish stock. A face designed to squint out from under a candle stuck to your forehead thousands of feet underground. It's a long mining tradition in Cornwall, if people didn't know. Going back to the ancient world, actually. Romans had tin mines in Cornwall 2,000 years ago. Nearly 2,000 years ago. Yeah, when I did my DNA test, I was sort of like 95% or more, roughly, something in that ballpark, British. Well, English, really. And the biggest chunk of that was Cornwall. Cornishman, which is extreme southwest. It's funny because I was born and raised in the southeast, but okay, people do move around a bit. Yeah, Cornishman. Woo Poo 23 says, Sulla's list for the modern day, but sees the traitors of modernity assets. As much of this will be ill-gotten gains. Lists without the deaths, obviously. And the paywall on my show, Epochs. I've got long-form content all about Sulla, Marius and Sulla. Multiple-part series, in fact, all about Sulla. Anyone doesn't know, in the late Roman Republic, in the generation before Julius Caesar and Pompey, there were two other generals, Marius and Sulla, who had civil wars with each other. When one or the other of them got an upper hand, towards the end of those civil wars anyway, they would make lists of their enemies, death lists, like Stalin's death list. When Sulla finally won, he re-entered Rome at one point, and he just had lists and lists and lists and lists and lists of all his enemies and their families and their friends and on and on and on, all to be killed. Be careful not to go full Sulla. Probably never go full Sulla. But Woopoo's saying we need those lists, but without the deaths. Without the death bit, obviously. You're saying just take their assets. Okay. Sadukar 7th Legion, is that from June? The Emperor's Legions in June, isn't it? Is that right? You say, can you shout out Noxious YouTube, please? I guess I just did. I've got no idea. Because you never know, because I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's good or bad, but I did just say it. I'll say it again. Noxious YouTube, or Noxious YT. There you go. I've got no idea what that is. It could be something really bad, couldn't it? It could be something brilliant. Who knows? But there you go. I read it out. You did just give us £2 as a super chat, so... There you go. Can't say anymore. Really don't know what that is. Okay. Tory K Music says, Beau the Terrible. Like Ivan the Terrible. Beau the Terrible. Good morning to you and the glorious band. Did you get my package? Oh, I don't know. I sent it 2 weeks ago now. I wish I lived in Beau's Britain. It would be better, wouldn't it? Love your bass takes, mate. Tory K Music. A package. Oh! Was it the tiny violin? I think it was, wasn't it? I did get it. Thank you very much. Yes. You know, a couple of times I do that joke where I've got like no sympathy for someone like Peter Manson. I go, oh, I've got a tiny violin somewhere. Must have left my tiny violin at home. What's this? It's a tiny violin playing just for Jeffrey Epstein or something. I think that was you, wasn't it, Tori? I think that's right. They actually sent in physically, actual real life tiny violin. It's on my desk or behind my desk. At some point, one day, I'll keep it in my pocket and I'll do the tiny violin joke, going, oh, where is it? I'll go, oh no, I have got it, and I'll do that one day. When there's some Schadenfreude to be dished out on one particular day, if Mandy goes on trial and then gets convicted on the day of his sentencing or the day after his sentencing when it's in the news. I play a tiny lament for Mandy. I'm pretty sure that was your Tory K Music. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Belgians are evil, trust me. That's their name. Says FR Luxem and North Sea, Flanders will be Dutch again. Okay, I don't know exactly what you mean or what you're saying there, but you're obviously really pro-Dutch. A lot of Dutch people hate Belgian people, don't they? Classic, isn't it? Wherever you live in the world, quite often your neighbours are your perennial ancient enemies, aren't they? Right? So I guess you're a really pro-Dutch person and you hate Belgian people. It's not even a real country, is it? People say that. Nigel said that before, isn't he? Flanders will be Dutch again. I've got an affinity with the Dutch. I like the Dutch. Yeah, the Dutch are good people. Sadukar, 7th Legion again, says, nothing to do with me, just want credit there due. What was that? Oh, that was where you said a shout out to that YouTube channel. Okay, fair enough. Thanks again. All right. Again, Cedric Carr 17 just says, Noxious Whitey, again, I don't know what I'm endorsing here, says, please check it out. Nothing to do with me, but he is doing good stuff and deserves credit. Okay. There you go. Fair enough. You spent 20 quid on that. Got the courage of their convictions. Sadhu Kar, 7th Legion, got the courage of their convictions. What is that? Those three super chats is like 24 quid I've spent on that. They must really like it. Says they're doing good stuff. All right. Kick You in the Throat again. That's their name. Kick You in the Throat. Says, I'm back from a break. Let's get a camera montage for the boys. Looking good, looking sharp, custom made, built to last. Super cool, super clean. Okay. The next couple are Belgians are evil, trust me again. Says, talk about Lefty Berm. Girl cops arresting guy. If that's the clip I think you're talking about, there was a bunch of foreign and or I don't know if they're actually foreign, but from brown people beating up, starting to beat up just a really drunk white kid, say kid, young man in the street, and the cops come over, and when the kid's trying to defend himself, swinging out wildly whilst like eight of them are trying to beat him up, he swings and like almost clocks a female cop before he realizes what's going on, and then they arrest him and all the other brown feral psychos just walk away, and the cops arrest the white kid that was getting beaten up. I think that's the clip you're talking about. Classic two-tier tiny little 5'1" 100-pound policewoman. When the white kid realized what's going on, he's like, what? 1 minute I'm walking down the street, the next minute I'm being beaten up by a gang of feral beasts. And then the next thing, I'm being arrested by a tiny little woman LARPing as a police officer. That's Britain now. Great. Next one says, minorities jump, white guy, girl cops arrest him. Yeah, I guess that is the one. It must be the one, mustn't it? Emily Forrestor says, Persians are pro-Israel versus Islamist occupier. What are you saying there? Persians are pro-Israel versus Islamist occupier. Oh, right. So Iranian or Persian people that aren't Islamic or aren't the particular type of Islam that the mullahs are and that regime are, saying they're pro-Israel. Well, because at least, or some of them at least, hate their own regime super duper a lot. So become pro-Israel. Someone like Maya Tusi. He is Iranian, but he hates the Iranian regime so much he's effectively pro-Israel. Right. Someone like that. Those people exist, right? Versus Islamist occupier. That's all you've said. Okay. Shoni C says, Lilani Middleton Kelly Brook. Snog, marry, avoid. I would like to marry all of those. That's difficult. They're all lovely, aren't they? Lilani, Kate Middleton, the Princess Kate Middleton, and Kelly Brook. They're all... That's difficult. It's difficult. I guess I'm going to swerve that a bit. Middleton's probably sort of like... If she divorced Wills, she would get like half of his £1 billion plus fortune. And then I marry into that. Although I doubt Kelly Brook or Lilani are short of a couple of bob. They're all very beautiful women, aren't they? It'd be hard to pick between them. One more lovely than the last. All right. What else have we got? We've still got loads here. Sadukar 7th Legion says... Going on about Noxious What YouTube again. Just check it out. A UK bloke. Okay, all right. We will. Kick You in the Throat says, current attitudes from the North about the US South easily let one... easily let one reckon with why the Civil War was a war of Northern aggression and not just about slaves. Just watch the attitude back 200 years. A slight argument, good faith argument on Twitter last night. Good faith back and forth with someone on Twitter last night about the American Civil War. I just tweeted a quote by Sherman. It was meant as sort of a general purpose quote, but they started talking about details of the actual war itself. So, well, we'll get into it a little bit. One or two, three back and forths. The idea that it was pure, and they were making the argument that it's pure Northern aggression. I just don't buy that. I don't buy that. When you read enough about it, it doesn't seem, I don't think that's right. The war was ultimately sparked by Southern secession. And then both sides mobilised. Everyone knew for years before it actually happened that any sort of secession would mean conflict. Kinetic conflict. It's just the North bullying the South into secession so that they could destroy them. That's not really what it was, I don't think, in my opinion. Now, Lincoln said, a house divided cannot stand. It will be all one thing or the other. The United States has to be either, one way of viewing the world, one way of life, would have to win over the other. I mean, a house divided cannot stand is a biblical quote, isn't it? But anyway, there is all sorts of revision, or not even revisionism, just there's many different ways to view the US Civil War. Let's leave it there. I could just go on and on and on about it, but okay. Principled uncertainty says, I'm currently in England for the first time in years. At least I think it's England. It's hard to tell at first glance. I'm afraid it's probably too late to reverse this level of demographic change. No, it's not too late. No. Many, many examples throughout history where a people and a government have decided on a program of mass deportations. Look at South Africa, what they did to their whites. Look at India and Pakistan and Bangladesh. When they wanted to get rid of all their colonists, they did, didn't they? Even in recent times. If China wants to get rid of loads of people, millions of people, they can and do. Russia deporting millions of people in recent times. Well, at the moment, in fact. It's not too late. Nowhere near too late, I would say. It just requires a government with the political will to act and the balls not to collapse under the inevitable pressure that comes once you start doing it. It's not too late. Loads of examples of in throughout history of when you can deport millions of people. All right, VixGB says, Bo, you seemed a little world-weary this morning at the slop headlines. Have a restorative day weekend. Do something to raise your spirits. Oh, thank you. Thanks, that's very kind of you to say. Yeah, no more than normal. No more world-weary than normal. But thanks, that's kind of you to say. Yeah, I'm going to try and relax a bit this weekend, if possible. Tatum2733 says, Penguin Classics aren't cheap anymore. $20 Plutarch. Oh, God. Really? Still relatively cheap considering what a wonder, what a jewel you're getting. Plutarch, a voice from the ancient world. What an incredible... Someone talking to you directly from the ancient world. That's incredible to me. Still, $20 is more than they used to be. A lot of my Penguin paperbacks, on the back cover at the bottom left-hand corner, it will say $6.99, $7.99. But they're more than that now, are they? Yeah. Well, you can pay a lot if you want a really decent copy of Plutarch, like a really nice, well-bound, even an antique one, 18th, 19th century, hand-cut, hardback, high-quality Plutarch from a book dealer in London. You could pay hundreds of pounds for that. But, yeah, $20. Worth it, though, I would say, if you're interested, if that's your bag. You want to learn about the ancient world? That's still a steal, in my opinion. Okay. Saju Carr again says, promote other UK channels. Don't be a dinkle and pull the ladder up behind you. Well, that's not what this show is, sorry. From time to time, I'll mention some. But I read out your super chats. I mean, That's not what this show is. But okay, thanks anyway. Another £5 you spent there, so I appreciate it. I appreciate it. But we have other people on, don't we, from time to time that have got channels and stuff. Tatum2733 says, why would we want to spend billions on Cuba now? I mean, it's a fair question. I mean, a rising tide raises all ships, doesn't it, though? If Cuba is successful and the whole Caribbean region becomes more successful and you don't have, like, this resentful, bitter enemy just off your south coast, that's in your interest, isn't it? Isn't it? Tux034 says, why is Nosferatu wearing a suit? I've had that. Drinking tea and reading the news on YouTube. Oh, sorry, my bad. It's that fabulous Bodade off the Lotus Eaters. Yeah, I've had everything from Jason Statham to Nosferatu. Or Ming the Merciless. That's my Ming the Merciless. Okay. Max Rowe says, Frisia for the Frisians. Frisia, isn't that the Low Countries, isn't it, Frisia? God, I should know exactly where medieval ancient Frisia was. That is that part, isn't it? Like, modern day Netherlands and Belgium area, isn't it? I hope so. Apologies if I got that wrong. Okay, and the last one from Sodukar, again talking about Noxious, says, it's not controversial. He covers UK stuff and mainstream media that the mainstream media won't. He has a feel-good dog clips at end to make you feel better too. Okay, sounds good. Sounds wholesome. Okay, another £5 on that. Noxious YouTube, you've got a super fan there. You've got a super fan. Nurture them. Well, thanks for letting us know, at least. So, I said it a number of times there. All right, great. That's the last one. Okay, so that's the show. It is now 37 minutes past 9 in the AM British summertime on Friday the 3rd of July in the year of our Lord, 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few. Thank you for joining me. I hope you have a great day ahead and weekend. Try and make the best of it, you know. Carpe diem, seize the day if you can. Your time is the most valuable thing you will ever have. Try and make the best of it. I hope you enjoy the weekend. Until tomorrow, until Monday morning then.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.